In Havana, Cuba's 18th International Ballet Festival is underway. Since the 1940s, Cuban ballet troupes have been dazzling aficionados and stunning critics. The island of just a few million people consistently produces some of the finest dancers in the world. From Havana, NPR's Jerry Haddon has the story of how two determined Cuban dancers built the country's ballet from scratch.
In the 1940s, a young Cuban ballerina, Alicia Alonso, arrived and conquered New York with her spirited interpretations of the classics. Now 87 and nearly blind, Alonso lives in Havana, presiding over the Cuban National Ballet she and her husband Fernando founded. As today's rising talents rehearse in one of the ballet's large studios, Alonso remembers the night in 1943 when she danced the lead in Giselle and became a star.
For the first time in my life, I finished a performance and I sat in a chair. I did not know what happened till someone took off my shoes, my toe shoes, and he said, "Look at your feet." And they were foot of blood because I had blister on my heels and I didn't realize it. I never felt it. I was completely gone in my dancing. The crowd was beautiful.
Alonso returned in 1948 to Cuba with her husband. In those days, classical dance was something virtually unheard of on the island. Switching to her native Spanish, Alonso says they took their art form on the road to win over their Afro-Cuban and Latino countrymen.
At first, everyone looked at us with surprise. We went to all corners of the nation, we danced on dirt or whatever to show people the ballet. We choreographed a dance of rebels fighting. We showed them how to lift a woman. People were sort of taken aback. It was the same in the factories too, but there was an immediate interest.
With little money to support the fledgling ballet, the story could have ended with the founding of a small, mediocre troupe. But then Fidel Castro and his revolution rolled victorious into Havana in 1959. Anxious to build a new populist culture in Cuba, Castro gave his full support to the Alonsos and their vision of an island of ballet lovers. The result is a system of intense schooling that starts children young and keeps them training several hours a day for 8 years. Only then do they try out for the National Ballet. 34-year-old principal dancer Barbara Garcia Fernandez, a petite woman in black tights and t-shirt, wipes sweat from her brow as she rests in the ballet's sweltering rehearsal hall.
The good thing is that the state supports you. Ballet is a career. In other countries, it's a hobby. But here, no. Ballet is supported by the state, and it's going to be the way you make a living, your future.
Over the years, several Cuban ballets have taken root, but they all share an unmistakable style. It's marked by virtuosity in spins and rapid-fire scissoring jumps called baterías in Spanish, brought back to Cuba and made even faster by founder Alicia Alonso. Dancer Garcia demonstrates. What's most alluring about Cuba's style of ballet is its sensuality. As a critic once said, the Cubans seem to caress the music as they dance. On a recent evening, the acclaimed Camagüey Ballet from eastern Cuba performed Copelia in Havana. During the adagio, the two principal dancers seem in love. The pair make constant eye contact, share longing smiles. A palpable sense of passion infuses their movements. Today, Cuban ballets perform around the world. Mary Day is founder of the Washington Ballet. She once presented Alicia Alonso to a U.S. audience in the 1950s. Like many fans who can still remember, she says she's not surprised the determined young dancer was able to build and maintain such a masterful tradition back home.
She was tops. She was, to me, the greatest. And I think for many people, she remains in their memories as one of the finest they know they'd known. Today in Cuba, everyone adores ballet. Even the littlest person you could possibly imagine.
Back at the Copelia performance, in the front row of the theater, two tiny 3-year-old girls wriggle free of their mothers and rush the stage, flailing their arms in imitation of the dancers. One is the daughter of local surgeon Ariana Concepcion.
She'll be able to enter the school when the next course begins. She's got some talent. The school is free. Schools for musicians are free too. If you do have to pay, the fee is very low. Anyone can afford it.
As Copelia closes, the crowd floods into the street. Some, like Ms. Concepcion, appear well-to-do. Others wear jeans and t-shirts. The fans are young and old, disheveled and dapper. Watching the procession from the lobby is fellow Cuban ballet founder Fernando Alonso, an unassuming gray-haired man in a white guayabera shirt. Fernando created Cuba's network of free ballet conservatories.
The result is that they love ballet. I mean, the last festival of ballet, we had three theaters going on at the same time, and they were always full, very difficult to get tickets.
While Cuba's ballerinas win acclaim and invitations to dance abroad, the island's tough economic times are beginning to take their toll. This night's performance took place on a stage in need of new trim and other basic repairs. With the theme of this year's festival being ballet, past, present, and future, some wonder how long this cash-strapped state can maintain its ballets as some of the most respected in the world. Jerry Haddon, NPR News, Havana.